TNG Radio, where today's culture and timeless truths come together.
It's reasoned, relevant content, apologetics, worldview, and answers to the questions that you need to know.
You need to know.
From Alex McFarland Ministries, this is Truth for a New Generation Radio. And now the man who preached in 50 states in 50 days, speaker, writer, and advocate for Christian apologetics, Dr. Alex McFarland.
If there's one question that I get asked repeatedly, week after week, everywhere I go, it's the question of millennials and younger. Millennials and Generation Z, can they be evangelized? I give God the glory. We had a very fruitful month in the last 30 days of seeing millennials come to Christ. And I think about the young adult lady that my wife and I were able to lead to the Lord Sunday afternoon. We were at a place and we were talking to a young lady, and she remarked that she was thinking about moving in with her boyfriend. And that really begat a conversation about moral and spiritual issues. And I began to talk about Christ and our relationship to God. This particular girl said that she was spiritual but not religious. And I asked if she'd ever had the gospel explained. And I said, what do you think of when you think of the word gospel? And she said, is that like baptism? Is the gospel being baptized? And I said, not exactly. The word gospel means good news. And we began to explain what is the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus for the sins of the world. And we come into a relationship with Christ through faith. And within a few minutes, we held hands, she bowed her head, and she asked Christ into her heart. And later texted us and thanked us profusely. And another soul had opened their heart to Christ. We shared about becoming a disciple and learning and growing as a believer. But the answer is yes, millennials can be reached for Christ. And in fact, in my experience, I think they're very spiritually hungry, very open and ready to hear about Jesus and how they can begin to build their life on Him. Well, with that, I welcome you to today's edition of TNG Radio. Alex McFarland here, and we're going to talk about the church, and we're going to talk about outreach and priorities. And with me is my friend and colleague, Tripp Harmon. And Tripp, you were in the pastorate for a number of years, me too. Now you're working with us as we do events all around the country to evangelize the lost and equip the saved. But wouldn't you say that despite changes in culture, and I know, you know, we've got social media and internet and so many dynamics going on in the culture, but human nature hasn't changed. People still need Christ. People still have that hunger where they ask, you know, why am I here? What is my purpose? What does the future hold? How can I be stable and secure? How can I have peace in my heart and fulfillment in life? The basic human longings that only Jesus can satisfy. Millennial, Gen Z, or whomever, it hasn't changed. People are the same on the inside, and the answer is still Christ, isn't it?
Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%. I think with a study of history alongside a study of God's Word, we come to that conclusion fairly quickly that we have, as people, as you said, that we have the same desires and longings in our hearts and in our lives. Cultures change, you know, technology changes, and the ways and means that people may go about that search for meaning, for purpose, they may change a little bit, but inevitably it's there. And it's been said so many times before, you know, there's that God-shaped void inside of a person's soul, inside of their heart.
So studies show that 80%, maybe 85% of American churches are plateaued or declining. And some of you listening to the program right now, maybe your church, you're kind of flat when it comes to evangelism. Now, I think very well we do a lot of maintenance of the body of Christ, and people that are, you know, habitual churchgoers and plugged into church, even if they move to a new city, they're probably going to find a church home. So people that are solidly grounded as a disciple, that's wonderful. Praise God. But really, we're not reaching. Sociologists would call this replacement rate. We're not reaching lost people. Pastors tell me, in fact, I had lunch with a pastor today, Tripp, and he said that in 30 years of ministry, he had done almost 500 funerals. Now, this was a very large church, but we're burying more than we're evangelizing. And more are winding up in the church cemeteries than are coming through the doors and making their way to the altar to be born again. And so we've got to be honest with ourselves that in the American church, we need the Lord of the harvest, the Holy Spirit of God, to give us a renewed spark of evangelism and winning the lost. And I want to talk about that. Let's talk a little bit about some scripture verses. I mean, I am encouraged, Tripp, when Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly the church will always exist.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing, and I want to throw this out to you. Between the two of us, it's been our privilege to speak and minister in hundreds of churches. Do you think a lot of churches understand that very often, if you want a different result, there's going to have to be a change of approach? If what we're doing is not producing a desired result, then we're going to have to modify what we're doing.
Absolutely. And I think some churches are doing that. You know, we see that there are churches out there that are growing, they're reaching people, they're baptizing. I think in general, you know, we've reached a different time. That, you know, some ways, I think it depends on how you look at it. It may be disheartening for you. It may be exciting for you. I think we're reaching a time in America to where it's more like the first century, to where individual believers are going to have to intentionally make relationships with unbelievers, you know, get out there with their neighbors, with in you know, wherever they're hanging out and doing their hobbies, intentionally blessing people, just loving them until they ask why, and sharing the gospel. We're just in a time to where people don't just stumble into church like they once did because that's the right thing to do.
We've got to take a brief break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to ask three hard questions, three honest, soul-searching questions for the church that wants to survive and thrive. TNG Radio with Alex McFarland and our guest Tripp Harmon. We'll be back right after this.
From I Am a Watchman Ministries, here's today's I Am a Watchman Minute.
I'd like you to think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how difficult it must have been for her to tell her parents and Joseph that she was expecting. 2,000 years ago, a pregnant, unmarried teen in Israel could be cast out from her village, perhaps stoned to death. I'm sure her parents asked her, "How did this happen?" And though I don't know for sure, I imagine Satan whispered to Mary, "Just lie. Tell everyone you were assaulted by a Roman soldier." An assault was possible. It was actually a more probable scenario than claims of an immaculate conception. Mary, just a little lie and all your problems will go away. The temptation to lie can be great, but speaking truth honors God. And when we live to honor God, God will honor us.
Be bold. Be faithful. Be a watchman. IamAWatchman.com.
If you're a Christian parent, you of course want to instill a biblical view of life in the hearts of your children. If you're a pastor, you want to offer ministry that draws young families to your church. This is Alex McFarland encouraging you to check out my new book and video curriculum, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity.
Why do bad things happen?
I interviewed hundreds of children ages 5 to 12, and we address actual questions from actual children, the spiritual issues that are on the minds of your kids.
Did Jesus ever sin?
The book and video lessons are great for groups of any size and was produced with the goal of equipping kids to stand strong for Christ in any situation. The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask, the book, study guide, and video series, you'll find it at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
We care about justice.
And aren't afraid to ask hard questions.
In fact, we care about a lot of things.
We have passion for truth.
We are EngageMagazine.net, an online group of millennials brought together by a common goal, to share truth, apply scripture, and to get involved in our lost and hurting world. EngageMagazine.net hosts discussions that help you apply a biblical worldview to your daily life. EngageMagazine.net.
At Liberty University, you'll earn more than a degree. You'll earn the satisfaction of seeing what you can accomplish and what God can accomplish through you. Choose from more than 600 degree options from an associate to a PhD and study 100% online more affordably than you think. Discover God's truth through every degree at Liberty University, where we train champions for Christ. Go to liberty.edu/explore to learn more. That's liberty.edu/explore to learn more.
Timeless truths in a soundbite culture. Truth for a new generation radio.
You know, we're talking about revitalizing the church, and you're never going to meet two guys that love the local church more than Alex McFarland and Trip Harm. And it's been our privilege to be in a lot of churches in all 50 states. And folks, if you need us to help you, and we'll do kind of an analysis and where you are, what you're doing, and prayerfully, from the heart, give you some advisement on turning around a plateaued or declining church, reach out to us. We love to help the church. Hey, my email, alex@alexmcfarland.com. If your church needs help, hey, let us hear from you. alex@alexmcfarland.com. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, 23, 24, 25, the Word of God says that just as the husband is head of the wife, even Christ is head of the church, his body. And Jesus Christ himself is its Savior. And Jesus is the head of the church. And so with that in mind, let's remember what his mandate, his mission is for the church. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." We're talking about three hard questions that every church really must ask themselves if they're going to survive and thrive. And Tripp, let's talk about this for a second, this scripture. I see a lot of mandates in here. Go. Make disciples, go to all nations, baptize these believers in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teach them to observe what all things, not part of the great panorama of Christian truth, but all things. And there's that great word of encouragement that Jesus says to individual believers and to the whole church, "I'm with you always." But let's talk about this for a second. Making disciples. How is that different than evangelizing the lost?
I think, you know, making disciples, the first step of disciple making is evangelism.
Right.
Evangelism is the first step. You know, you get them to that profession of faith in Christ. And I think that's where a lot of us Protestant evangelical churches have fallen short. A lot of churches believe in evangelism, have done evangelism, are filled with some saved people who were never discipled themselves, so they don't quite get, all right, what do we do now? Where do we go? And if that's not happening, then you've got a lot of believers who never get past that infancy stage or childhood stage of the faith. You know, Paul talked about the church needing meat instead of milk, and there's just a lot of Christians who have never gotten anything more than milk.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Here are the three questions, because as we said, you know, 8 out of 10 churches are plateaued or declining. Mm-hmm. And thank God for the faithful Christians, the faithful pastors. But look, America, we're in trouble. We have got to have a great move of God. And so I really think it behooves every church to be asking themselves these questions. And here we go. We'll unpack each one. And if your church is flat, if you don't have young people, if you're not reaching the lost, impacting your community, you might want to ponder these. Number one, is what we're doing biblical? Number two, is what we're doing fruitful? And number three, listen, are we willing to do what it takes to truly become obedient? I could ask this question another way. Is my church willing to do what it takes to achieve our assignment? And we just read it, making disciples, going to all the world. And very often, we might give some money to foreign missions, or we might send a team overseas, and we understand that we've participated in missions. But, you know, we go to the ends of the earth, but we need to also go to the end of our street. And if I'm willing to have one ladle in the pot called foreign missions, let's never forget our own community. So let's ask this question. First of all, is what we're doing biblical? Tripp, you've spent 2 decades in the pastorate. If you count the years as a youth pastor, And then senior pastor as well. I've spent 2 decades in the pastorate. Very often, some closely guarded turf. It's not necessarily an evil, sinful thing, but it's my preference, not necessarily something that's a biblical mandate. And oh my goodness, a lot of pastors, they get on some landmines when they go messing with tradition, don't they?
Absolutely. I had a professor in college in a Christian ministries class, and he used to talk about what he called the means ends inversion. You know, a lot of churches would do some things for the goal of making disciples, reaching, and after a while, you know, that became what they did. And then it sort of became, you know, that program or that effort that they were putting together as a church sort of became a sacred cow in itself, and they were just doing it to do it. You know, the means and the ends. We do this in order for the ends of reaching people with the gospel, for making disciples. And after a while, it becomes, well, this is what we do. This is how we do it. This is who we are, and we're not going to touch it.
Yeah.
Even when it's not working anymore.
Exactly. And, you know, the old saying, I think it's in one of Peter Wagner's leadership books, but hey, if the horse has died, dismount. And folks, look, hey, I love the old hymns. I love Fanny Crosby and Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I grew up, my grandmother sang those kind of songs to me. I love it. But whether it's the music or whether it's the order of the service or the times or whatever, I really don't think most churches are losing their fidelity to Scripture. Most churches, not all, but most churches, they do believe the Bible is the Word of God. But I think we need to go to question number two, not is what I'm doing biblical, because the majority of churches want to be biblical. I think they do. But the question becomes, now listen carefully, is what I'm doing fruitful? Because clearly, there's a lot of moving parts that are not bearing fruit in terms of salvations. Now, people might say, yeah, but it's hard where I live, and I get that, but prayer can break through anything. If you're up in New England, my heart goes out to so many of the people up there in the upper Northeast. That is hard ground. The upper Northwest, Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, even like Idaho, I've been all through there. That's some tough sledding. I get it. But prayer. So one of the things, if you're asking, is what I'm doing fruitful, let me encourage you to make your church a church where all of the programs are prayed for. And I mean intercession and prayer and fasting. Because the difference between the adequate and the exceptional, the difference between the nominal and the anointed, is prayer.
Absolutely.
We're going to take up the third question. Am I willing to do what it takes to be obedient? When TNG Radio returns, don't go away.
The TNG Unashamed Conference is coming to Richmond, Virginia, October 11th and 12th. Experience core truths that make for an unshakable faith. With Tina Marie Griffin, Todd Starnes, Kamal Shalim, Miki Addison, Chuck Crismeyer, and William Federer. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Come to the Truth for a New Generation conference and get equipped, empowered, and inspired to confidently share the gospel of Jesus Christ. TNG is committed to impacting our nation for Christ and the future and equipping you to be a difference maker. Register now by calling 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. Or visit the TNG website at truthforanewgeneration.com. The TNG Unashamed Conference, Richmond, Virginia, October 11th and 12th. Dive deeper into your faith.
1 Peter 3:15 tells us to be ready always to give an answer for the hope we have. We're instructed to be prepared to defend our faith. This is Alex McFarland for the Life Answers Teams, students we train at North Greenville University, a leading Christian college in South Carolina. The Life Answers Teams are made up of students who will inspire and equip your congregation. These apologetics teams we train speak in churches, to youth groups, and train Christians of all ages to address key issues of our times from a biblical perspective. Like, is there a God? Is the Bible true? What about gender and moral issues? call me at 864-977-2008, and we will arrange for the Life Answers team to come to your church and give a presentation that will benefit your people for years to come. 864-977-2008, and always be ready.
In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex McFarland is a voice you can trust to speak the timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. You're listening to Truth for a New Generation Radio.
You know, I love it in Matthew when Jesus told the disciples, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. And, you know, we're going to continue talking about the church and how your church can be jump-started and revitalized in 30 days or less. And it can be, honestly, and it begins with some maybe honest look at some hard questions. Before we continue this very important topic of the state of the health of the American church, I do want to mention Truth for a New Generation. We're so excited. Now listen up, Richmond, Virginia, Cincinnati, Ohio, October 11, 12. We're going to be in Richmond, Virginia, November 15, 16, Cincinnati, Ohio. And you don't want to miss it. It's going to be so exciting. Great speakers, people like Josh McDowell and Todd Starnes, Erwin Lutzer. Oh my goodness, one of the greatest Christian speakers you will ever hear from Moody Church in Chicago, Erwin Lutzer. The website is truthforanewgeneration.com, truthforanewgeneration.com. You know, Tripp, we had this summer our camp, 86 teens from seven states. Since the camp, you've been on the road preaching, I've been on the road preaching. We're doing television, we're doing radio, we're distributing literature. I just, days ago, was in front of 200 pastors in Florida. And many of them were so excited because they're going to begin to incorporate apologetics and equipping their people to defend the faith. I met some young pastors that are 23, 24, 25. Amen. So excited about what God is doing. I met a few pastors that really needed a word of encouragement. But saving souls, saving the church, spreading the gospel, that's what we're about by many different approaches. And it's really the saving of our nation, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you're doing so much, Alex. And, you know, you burn up a lot of road time, a lot of air time. You spend a lot of time in the airports. What a privilege. You know, I know you would agree with me. What a privilege to serve the Lord, to be in the gospel ministry. You know, I had a mentor in ministry years ago who was a pastor. And he had said it several times, if I had 100 lives to live over, I'd be a pastor in every one.
Amen.
And look, I know that you could say the same thing. If you had 100 lives to live over, you'd be an apologist and evangelist in every one. And what you're doing is just so impactful for the kingdom. Topics like this one today on the church, and I know it's helping folks. Folks, I would say this, as for Truth for a New Generation, being the ministry advancement guy, I would say this, you know, ministry takes money, and if you get any benefit whatsoever from publications or broadcasting, anything, we could use your help. You know, we don't go into this to make money, and there's times, Alex, you know, we do some of these conferences, and we know that, you know, we just hope we might break even. We don't do it for making money. So folks, if any benefit that you've got at all from the ministry, if you might just prayerfully consider sending $5, sending a dollar even, to help out with the gospel ministry, we would greatly appreciate it. And that money will go to ministry.
Amen. Well, thanks very much. And you can donate online, truthforanewgeneration.com, or you can write to us, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. And Tripp is right. You know, it's being invested in winning souls. You know, I give God the glory that we see around 3,000 decisions for Christ in a year, and we know how to stretch a dollar. So help us, because what we're doing is really helping our nation. Now, let me get to the question that is the one that might be the hardest, perhaps for many the most bitter pill to swallow. Is what we're doing biblical? Is what we're doing fruitful? And then finally, am I willing to do what it takes to be obedient? Because I'm just going to say this, that if your church is not winning souls, if your church is not seeing growth and lives changed and lost people evangelized, then we've got to admit that what we're doing is less than obedient. Mm-hmm. Because the natural state of the church is health and growth. Now, sometimes for pastors, that we've got to reproduce ourselves and we've got to begin to plan for a succession program. Let me just say this. Trip, I remember once one of the churches I pastored, I won't say which one, but I got myself in trouble. We had a big youth event, and people, there was a circular driveway, and people would park up next to the building. And I blocked it off because I knew we'd have 300 or 400 youth in the front yard. And so people had to park in the parking lot, which was a walk of another 75 or 80 feet. And I mean, I got taken to the woodshed because I blocked off a few people's favorite parking spot. And I wasn't trying to be flippant, but I said, you know, you all are wrong, because we had hundreds of kids up here to hear the gospel, many of whom made a salvation decision. And if you had to walk 75 feet so that kids could get up close and hear the gospel, that's just part of the price we pay. So don't we all have to ask ourselves, whether it's a cherished, beloved parking place, or whether it's my personal favorite pew, or whether it's whatever, the question is, am I willing to do what it takes to be obedient?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've got a good friend. We were talking just the other day, this good friend of 20 years or more that I've got, he's a consultant in church revitalization. And the tragic thing is that he admits that most churches, by the time they have called him and he comes in, it's too late. And you know, they're just too far gone. And he usually has some opening questions he can ask them. Are you willing to forget this budget and start over? Are you willing to change your bylaws? Are you willing to sell part, most, or all of your property? And, you know, if they say no to some of these questions, then he can pretty quickly say, it's too late.
Yeah. Ephesians 5 says Jesus is the head of the church. I'm not. Billy Graham wasn't. Charles Stanley is not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the head of the body, and we still have the mandate. Preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15, make disciples from every nation. And I would say that the church, part of our role is to hold back the darkness. We're to be a roadblock against the encroachment of darkness. Mm. Christ is the head. We have our calling, and we know who called us, and we know the mission, and we know the great message that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. So let me encourage you, your church can be saved. Your church can be saved, but you've got to be willing, and maybe as a group and a leadership and praying together, getting all hearts clear and all lives unified. Is it biblical? Are we being fruitful? And are we willing to do what it takes to become obedient and to again find the blessing, favor, and the increase from God? Because what hangs in the balance, not only the souls of people, but the future of our nation.
TNG Radio is made possible by the Friends of Alex McFarland Ministries, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. That's P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Call us at 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. Or give online at alexmcfarland.com. While you're there, listen to program archives, read Alex's blog, invite Alex to speak at your event, or contact Alex with a question or comment. alexmcfarland.com. Thanks for listening today, and join us again next time as we bring you more truth for a new generation on TNG Radio.